Morning. You know who this is. It's Dan. It's Thursday. I believe December the 20th, 2018. Almost Christmas Day. I don't want to talk about my goals for 2018 or any of that New Year's resolution bullshit. I'll leave that aside for now. One of the things I've been thinking about lately, and I don't know if you've ever thought about it yourself, is this issue of the Apollo moon landings. You know, there's been this movie that's come out. First Man, I have not seen it. I don't think I care to see it. And there is a lot of propaganda. You know, I will tell you that if you see the world from my perspective, and it may be the worst perspective, maybe I'm a terrible person, but if you see the world from my perspective, it's possible that almost everything you're being told is some kind of lie. But just because it's a lie doesn't mean it's all false. You know, lies don't really work if they're all false. They tend to be farcical, impossible to believe. There has to be some truth, something that people can latch on to, something that people can actually say, okay, this seems plausible to me. So, you know, even with the space program, you can't look at those rockets and say, is it possible that a bunch of people watch a rocket take off and go down range and that the rocket itself doesn't exist? Stuff like that, it's like, I don't know. It's not easy for me to accept. But do I think that there are deceivers? Yes. Do I think that, for the most part, I am lied to almost all the time? Yeah, probably. But every lie, there's some little chunk of truth. And I suppose if you get really good at it, you can figure out what that truth is. I don't know that I am that good at it. I don't really know that I want to have the brain that would allow me to be so sophisticated in understanding that kind of deception that I would be that good at it. I can see some of it, but not enough of it. Here's something, though, that is difficult for me to believe, and it is a lie we're told. It might be true. I don't know that it's true. I've met one or two people in my life who make these really arcane arguments for showing how it's true, but here is one of the truths that we're expected to believe, and that is that between 1968 and 1972, the United States launched several rockets towards the moon, one of which only orbited, but the others, actually, they landed on the moon. They spent time, well, actually, two only orbited because there was Apollo 13. That was a disaster. They only orbited the moon. But the point is, other than two orbit-onlys, which means they just orbited the moon, these other missions landed. I don't know the exact number. I think 1972 was the last year. But the point is, about four or five of these missions, I think, actually landed on the moon. And the other two orbited. And we're expected to believe this, but we're also expected to believe that we forgot how we went to the moon. That we just don't remember. We don't remember all the data. We don't have all the data. We don't have all the blueprints. We can't reproduce what we built. You know, it was so sophisticated. You know, this is another thing too. Computers today are so sophisticated that they can reconstruct things. Like you can feed a computer data based upon some type of sensory apparatus, whether it's a microscope, whether it's a scanning electron microscope, whether it's a CAT scan, whatever it is, it can access a scanning system and it can reproduce a three-dimensional image of some of the most interesting and not easily visible things. We have technology to reconstruct a lot of things, yet we don't have the ability to reconstruct how we went to the moon. So everything we do is kind of like, it's like, well, holy shit, we got to figure out how we're going to do this. For example, this is from a NASA, this is audio from a NASA engineer, and I don't remember his name. I don't really give a shit about his name. Yeah, I guess it's Kelly Smith. Kelly Smith, NASA engineer. This is his audio, okay?
and the International Space Station. As we get further away from Earth, we'll pass through the Van Allen belts, an area of dangerous radiation. Radiation like this could harm the guidance systems, onboard computers, or other electronics on Orion. Naturally, we have to pass through this danger zone twice, once up and once back. But Orion has protection. Shielding will be put to the test as the vehicle cuts through the waves of radiation. Sensors aboard will record radiation levels for scientists to study. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space. For this flight, it's time to head home.
So, you know, I'm obviously going to edit this audio once the podcast is done recording, but as you clearly heard Kelly Smith say, they got to figure out, I'm kind of summarizing here, I'm paraphrasing, I'm summarizing, but they got to figure out how to get through the Van Allen belts. Now, I'm going to let you on a little secret. The Van Allen belts were discovered about a decade before we sent people to the moon. They were known for quite a while. The only thing we can say about the Van Allen belts is that when we started lobbing nukes up into near space back in the late, you know, I think early 60s, as part of our above ground testing, as we started launching nukes up there, we may have made it worse. Now, there is a conspiracy theory among space people, you know, that we were trying to punch a hole through the Van Allen belts, but what we do know is we made it worse. There's a CNN report that's really hard to find a reference to now from 1998. So CNN 1998 that actually talks about a shuttle mission, a space shuttle mission. And so, you know, since 1972, no human, according to public record, has left low Earth orbit. And that's essentially that region of space between about 100 miles, you know, to 250 miles, roughly 300 miles above the Earth. But the point is, outside of about 400 miles above the Earth, no humans left that space since 1972. That's really important to this conversation because there's a CNN report that's really hard to find online references to now. It's actually kind of creepy because it wasn't that hard a year ago. But there's a CNN report from 1998 talking about a shuttle mission where they took the shuttle to 350 miles above the Earth and still technically several hundred miles away from the Van Allen belts. And they were inside the shuttle. The shuttle was completely buttoned up, you know, hatches closed, you know, completely. They had their complete spacesuits on. And they could actually see, with their eyes closed, the ionizing radiation going through their eyeballs. Now, you have to understand something. If you're that close to a radioactive source, you probably shouldn't spend a lot of time there. I mean, I don't know. I think that's always good to err on the side of caution when it comes to radiation. But this wasn't even in the Van Allen belts themselves. Another thing about radiation is that going quickly through radiation does not reduce your dose. It actually might make your dose worse. But here's the thing. In order to go through the Van Allen belts at the speed that the Apollo rocket was leaving, that third stage was leaving Earth orbit, in order to transition to the moon, they were going about 20,000, maybe I think 22,000 miles an hour. Well, they would still take about 45 minutes to go through the Van Allen belts, 45 minutes on the way back, plus or minus, right? But let's say it's 30 minutes. That's 30 minutes of intense radiation inside of essentially a metal can. And this is ionizing radiation in a metal can with a little bit of, you know, let's call it oily material on the inside, which I just described a kind of capacitor, maybe a reverse capacitor. But the point is, I just described something that's going to build up a charge. How the hell the Apollo discharges or grounds itself in space, I have no idea. Like I said, I'm not very, you know, I'm a software engineer, so what the hell do I know? But the point is, this radiation was damaging, extremely damaging. And here we have a NASA engineer who, I don't know if he still has his job, but he seemed to be doing a good job explaining the Orion system and whatnot, and how we're trying to figure how to get back to the moon, which again, how can you believe that? I mean, let's assume you want to believe we went to the moon, which I don't give a fuck. Honestly, I was 0 years old when we went. I was 1 year old, essentially, when Apollo 13, actually, I was still barely, I was just born, I think, when Apollo 13 happened. About the time Apollo 13 is when I was born. You know, these things have always been mysterious to me. They've always been kind of quasi-mythological. It always sort of struck me as I got older. I mean, keep in mind, I was a child in the 70s, a teenager in the 80s, and I was fed all this garbage about the future of the human race. We're all going to be in rocket ships heading to Mars, blah, blah, blah. After a while, after you hear this over and over again, you start to realize maybe you're being fucked with. I'm not saying I know what the truth is. I just don't. But I'm fairly certain I'm being fucked with. So yeah, we forgot how we went to the moon. We forgot how we went through the Van Allen belts. No human has left low Earth orbit since 1972. And when the shuttle got really close to the Van Allen belts in 1998, they probably put the astronauts at risk. And this is assuming you believe all the other shit. Like, you believe that the space program itself is not all a big lie. It's just some of the things are lies. Like going to the moon, for example. You know? So this is the thing. I talk to people who will tell me to have faith in human things. And this kind of brings me to the topic of faith, too, because I believe in God. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Yeah, I'm a Christian. It's crazy. I am a Christian. I don't know how I ended up here, but I am. And I don't claim to have all the knowledge or all the answers. I'm still a kind of, you know, I guess they call them baby Christians. I don't know why people would call it that. I'm an adult who has re-engaged his faith in God, in the Lord in heaven, but I don't have all the answers. I still read the Bible. I continue to read it. I don't think it's a thing I'll ever stop reading, but have I read it completely all the way through yet? No. There are a great many books in the Bible I'm still coming to grips with. I find it enjoyable when my fingers accidentally come across Proverbs, because between Proverbs and Lamentations, I don't know which I enjoy more, but I think Proverbs is interesting. But the reason why I mention all this religious stuff is because it's true that I have a religious perspective. It's something I should admit to in a podcast. If you're saying, well, does he have an agenda? Well, you know, I believe in God, so you could say, well, he's a God person. But this is not what this is about. I do believe that there are deceptions at play, and my reason for those, the teleology I've accepted for the deceptions, is based upon this religious paradigm. I believe that the devil is at work in the world today. I think that, you know, if you wanted to know what the Antichrist is, all you have to do is look at, you know, your tax return. I mean, the Antichrist is government. It always has been. What the devil really wants is some type of a structural system of control that can be worshipped and loved the way that God is worshipped and loved. Well, you tell me what the government isn't. It seems to be that today. It is the Baal that everybody worships. It is the Baphomet that everyone bows down to. Everyone suckles at its tit, and everybody expects it to solve all problems. This sounds a lot like a replacement for God. Now, that being said, when you talk about things like the moon and going to the moon, you're talking about an event, whether it's real or not, that accentuates, that might not even be the right word, that amplifies the attractiveness of this belief system that government is God, that government can save you. Now, full disclosure, once again, I'm not just a Christian, but I am a kind of anarchist. I say a kind of anarchist because I know what I believe. The problem is that I also know that there are a lot of people in the world of anarchism who believe many different things, and you can't just say, well, you're an anarchist. I would like to say it's this simple. I have zero faith in government, and I believe all problems would be better solved without government, period. I also believe in non-aggression, although humans are not perfect, and believe me, I've learned that lesson in more ways than one in recent years. But bottom line is, you should not aggress against others to the best of your ability. The only kind of violence you're authorized is self-defense. And government is bogus. It's bullies. Bullies suck. It's better if humans solve problems on their own. I know this is idealistic, humans solving problems cooperatively without compulsion. I know that you're going to say you're crazy and nutty in your old age, and that might be true as well. But I believe if I was given a choice between compulsory situations of problem solving versus essentially cooperative and voluntary, I would choose the voluntary. The compulsion is always going to be worse. Even if you get results, it's always going to be less efficient. So that's just how I feel. But there are a lot of people who have this deep abiding faith, and you have to call it faith. You really do. You have to put it in a box and call it faith in government. And going to the moon was like, for them, in many ways, Moses parting the waters. I mean, holy crap. We just put some people in a rocket and fired them at the moon. They went there. Sure, it seems like it works every single time because no one's died yet. And that's the other thing, too, is no one died, you know, other than the ground crew, you know, Grissom. Boy, I don't even want to think about that too much. But other than Grissom and the other two astronauts dying inside a capsule on the ground, I think it was 1967, but it could have been 68, but I think it was 67. But other than the Apollo ground crew, other than the crew of Apollo 1 or whatever, catching fire in the capsule on the ground, and Grissom was a big critic of the Apollo program, but that's all just an accident kind of thing. But other than that, no one died going there. No one died coming back. This is the longest trip any humans have ever taken going anywhere. And no human died going there and back. Yeah, Apollo 13, it was dramatic. Yeah, they two of the trips were just orbits. But still, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles into space. With all of the features of space, we're told, you know, all the garbage and all the meteorites and cosmic rays, and basically in a relatively thin, you know, command module, and an even thinner in terms of the structure, in terms of, you know, protection, a thinner walled LEM, lunar excursion module, to land on the moon. And all of this is fine. Like, in my head, I'll say, okay, I will allow the fancy, because I'll tell you why. Space may not be that scary. Like, it might not be nearly as dangerous as we thought. You know, engineers have nasty habits of hyping things up at times. So it's entirely possible that going to the moon was just not that scary. And it turned out to be kind of, you know, perfunctory. Like, holy fuck, it's just like jumping off a cliff. You just go, you know, once you get out of Earth orbit, you know, it's it's like what Heinlein said, the longest distance to the stars are the first 100 miles or something. But once you get out of the Earth orbit and, you know, once you get out of the Earth's gravitational pull, it's all just a little bit of a hop, skip, and a jump. It might be that going to the moon turned out to be less scary. Like, they over-prepared. Like, it just wasn't as dangerous as they thought it would be. And that's possible. But even if you grant that, how do you forget how you went? Because in that scenario, you over-prepared, which means you over-documented. In all likelihood, you had people making copies of copies. So how do you forget how you went to the moon? How do you do that? That's of all the mysteries of the moon. And again, this little snippet of the NASA engineer should point out that they're basically admitting this. You know, first we have to figure out how we get through the Van Allen belts. Well, it seems to me you did it a couple times, you know, back in the age of bell bottoms. So if you could do it during disco and bell bottoms, how the fuck can't you do it now? That makes no sense. Well, we used to be able to have computers that could read these tapes. Okay, so one of the most important events in human history, you never, like, transcribed this shit as technology improved. I mean, my God, you can get radio shows from the 1930s on fucking MP3, but you can't fucking get these old data tapes, or you lose them all because you just don't know what the fuck you're doing when it comes to that shit. There should be a blueprint for every single component that went into the Apollo spacecraft. There should be specs on everything. Even if the factories didn't exist, there should be a blueprint describing every piece. Now, let's just say they lost half the blueprints. The likelihood that they still wouldn't have enough to reconstruct from that, it seems to me to be zero. So even if you say, well, they lost a lot of blueprints, you're basically saying they basically lost them all. And if that's your contention, that government of all things under documents, I mean, that's like the opposite of history. Of all the things government tends to do, it documents. So this idea that, well, it was just something where they didn't make copies, and it was just wasn't that fucking important. That is, of all the problems with Apollo, that is the problem I have, that they forgot. It's not just that they didn't go back. It's not just that you have this huge space of time. I mean, let's ignore the fucking Branson, you know, fucking, you know, Virgin Galactic. We're so happy we sent people up 50 miles. Well, holy fuck, how's that a great achievement in fucking 2018? I have no fucking clue. But let's ignore the whole race to low Earth, or technically not even low Earth orbit. Let's ignore the whole space race to 60 miles so people can have a couple minutes of, you know, Alan Shepard 1961 style zero G, which is not even orbital. It's suborbital. But yeah, let's ignore that little ridiculous space race, because that to me is, you know, a giant flaming fucking French bulldog shitty fart question mark. What the fuck? But if you ignore that, no humans left low Earth orbit since 1972. None. And so what you're left with is this miraculous space odyssey, these several missions, all these astronauts. You're expected to believe the story. You're expected to believe they forgot how they went, even though it's really kind of weird that no one else, no other human, has left low Earth orbit since 1972. And what? Here's another weird thing, and I thought this was weird because I remember back in the late 90s, maybe it was the early 2000s, but I remember there was some rumor that Google was going to put cameras on the moon, you know, and I think it was probably just after Google Maps really took off, so it could have been that 2003, 4, 5 time, time span. But the point is, in the early aughts of this current millennium, there was this rumor that Google was going to put cameras on the moon, live cameras, you know? And actually, I kind of thought that was brilliant because I knew that there would be geeks who'd pay for that. Well, it just kind of, it's never happened, you know? And it's like, I've thought about this. They tell us they can put cameras on Titan and show us, you know, liquid pools of methane. And they tell us that they can, you know, send probes to the edge of space, blah, 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 you know, Mars probes, no problem. But we can't have live cameras on the moon pointing back at the Earth, or better yet, on both the light side and the dark side. It's 2018. People would pay for this. The technology's got to be cheap enough. I mean, we're talking about small objects. We're not talking about giant things. So there's got to be a way to monetize this. You know, if Google can't imagine a way to do it, it's sort of like, well, there's a lack of fucking imagination right there. So if you're in my position, you can't really draw any conclusions. And I think this is kind of how I want to leave this, because I don't know. I may have spoken either too long or too short on this topic. But if you're in my position and you're said, and people will say, Dan, you know, why aren't you happy about this thing that just happened? Somebody will show me a technology article and they'll say, oh, look, Lockheed says that they're, you know, 10 years away from a fusion reactor that will fit in your pickup truck. And I'll look at them and I'll say, dude, I won't actually say it. This is what I'll, in my head, this is what I'll want to say. I'll say, dude, since World War II, they promised fusion energy every 10 years, basically. You know, this is another bullshit story. This is designed so you'll go to work today believing in bullshit, essentially a religion, a technocratic structural religion, so that you'll keep working like a slave, believing that eventually you'll get to be able to sit on your ass and watch your shows and eat your food and not worry about crap. But you're going to die a slave. What I actually say is I say, yeah, that's interesting. I don't tell people what I feel, because if I do, it's just too much. They can't deal with it. They'll talk about the robot apocalypse. Listen, I have no doubt that great progress is being made with robots, and it's entirely possible that robots will do amazing things. But the robot apocalypse is really just more about people than robots. And if robots actually do end up sort of taking over and solving all of our problems, then it also implies that they've solved the energy problem without mass extinction, which also on some level implies that they've got an over-unity device, or, you know, essentially free energy. That's the problem with the whole robot thing, is it's not just the question of what can they do. Can they do things we cannot currently do? We currently are scraping the bottom of the oil barrel to get another fucking percentage or two of GDP growth. That's what we're currently doing. So the robot thing, I will be impressed when I walk down the streets of Little Saigon and I'm not walking on layers of feces and blood and cum and vomit and other shit that sticks to the sidewalks, when it's not just the garbage dump reality out there, then yeah, I'll start worrying about the fucking robot apocalypse. But you kind of have to get to the point where the robots are actually doing things that, you know, actually would be impressive, like cleaning up the fucking streets. But that's the other issue, is cost effectiveness, right? So no, I know that's a bit of a rant about robots, but whether it's fusion energy or robots or, you know, traveling to the stars, all of these technological phantasms, these fantasy stories, these epic tales, they're all great for TV and movies, and they're all great for your sci-fi novel. But in practical terms, has your life, other than the little glowing rectangle you're currently praying to, other than the device you have in your pocket, has your life improved much, really? If you're a person like me and you can remember where you were in the 1970s as a little kid and where you are today, where the world was, where it is today, has it really improved? Because I think that the technology has done a good job of masking the decay. But for the most part, most of the people I know that are about my age, they're not doing as well as their parents. They're doing significantly worse economically, socially, culturally. More than just economically, culturally. In fact, you could argue they're in a cultural holocaust, but nobody really gives a fuck. And if you happen to not be in the appropriate color category, it's really bad, you know. So yeah, I don't know what to think about the Apollo missions. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I cannot possibly believe especially for people who worship the government, that the most important event in human history has so little documentation that we forgot how we went through the Van Allen belts. That is it. You know, I keep repeating it, but that's the part that I just can't get past. And so I'm left with the deception. I'm left with the fact that everywhere I go, every form of technology I employ, whether it's turning on the radio or the TV, whether it's going on the internet, it is far more likely than not that there is one or more systems, structures, organizations seeking to deceive me. And it might be as innocent as advertising, although how you can call advertising innocent, I have no idea. It could be as innocent as the advertising motive. You know, here's an advertisement for something. You know, we stuck a cookie in your browser. We saw you read this article. We think you're into crossbows or into this shit. You know, this is the thing. Some of it may be just be cookies and tracking and whatever. Some of it's deeper. Some of it's these made up bots on Twitter and Facebook that they're not human, or they're being run by a human who runs several, and they're designed to manipulate and to conduct social engineering. And beyond that, it is propaganda. It is news articles that are total crap. News articles telling you, you know, this is what you need to be afraid of this week. This is what you no longer have to be afraid of. You know, these are the articles you're supposed to read if you want to be smart, especially for software engineers. Oh, you haven't read about this? Well, there's something wrong with you. Although it really is just math and logic, but clearly the latest white paper is the path to enlightenment. So yeah, I think I'm being lied to almost all the time. And that doesn't mean everything I'm being told is false. It just means it's hard as hell to figure out what the truth is. I am utterly convinced that no human has left low Earth orbit since 1972, and this is a matter of public record. So this is not a debatable fact. No human has left low Earth orbit for almost 50 years. That's a fact, okay? Unless you want to believe in a conspiracy theory called the secret space program. And again, I don't want to allow any of these pro-Apollo people to take little magical journeys, because then they're feeding the same bullshit monster that their so-called enemies feed. Oh, you can't say that we didn't went to the moon, you conspiracy. Well, don't bring up the secret space program. No human has left low Earth orbit since 1972. Technology has progressed since then in a lot of fields, but no human has left low Earth orbit since 72. That's an important fact. That plus they'll admit they forgot how they did shit. We don't know how we went through the Van Allen belts. We don't have all these blueprints, fucking A. That the command module is probably made out of Superman material. We don't know. This is the shit that should fucking make you ask questions. And the, on a deeper level, this is why, you know, add this to reasons why you should not trust government. Even if they went to the fucking moon, they're basically telling you that they did it in such a shitty way that they just didn't give a fuck. Okay? They basically are telling you they did the most important thing in human history in the shittiest way possible. So why do you keep paying them money? Why do you keep filling out your tax return? Why do you keep participating in their bullshit if this is how they treat you? But I don't want to say that because it makes you sound like, you know, someone in an abuse syndrome. And yeah. So I'll leave it at that. And you can imagine going to the moon. Oh, imagine going to the moon with your space harmonica. Travel into space with me. Making sure we're carefully going through those Van Allen belts. Cosmic rays, our brain will be pelted. That wasn't very good. Anyways, talk to you later.